And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Yeah. Boy, I want to tell you, I think we missed a prime opportunity there.
Oh, yeah, for the slow version?
Yeah.
Because of the
anniversary of 9/11?
Yeah, and the fact that we recorded it last week, we had Patrick do it. The only thing is we never actually put it up in its own separate place, so that's why we didn't use it.
Oh. Yeah,
sorry, guys. So next time.
It kind of went like this.
This is the podcast.
It was better than
the
that,
podcast. But still,
that was better. If you caught last week's episode, you know what we're talking about, and it was amazing. It really was.
But you did save it, right?
Yeah, it's saved, but it's in the middle of the whole podcast file, and you didn't go. I just assumed you went out and grabbed it.
No, I did not.
I wanted it so bad. It meant a lot to you.
Well, hold on. I am pausing everything.
No, it's too late.
Here we go. Pause.
Big D and Bubba have a show 5 days a week. They don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. Podcast. How we get the podcast.
Come on, sing along. Do we sing along with this one?
The podcast.
No, I don't think so.
It's the podcast. All right, so there we go. Now it's official. Since we are recording this podcast today on 9/11. The podcast, by the way, we are podcasting from the brand new, beautiful Wrangler Rig Studio. Wrangler Rig's workwear, comfortable, tough, all day long. We announced that we had a big sponsor joining the show, and Wrangler Rig's workwear is who it is. Did we do that last week? I don't remember.
I think the weeks are all confused because of the holiday. No, I think it was 2 weeks ago we started with the sponsorship.
Okay, well, the signs are up on the wall now and everything. It looks awesome.
It's legit now.
Legit. Yep. Legit, baby.
Wrangler. That's just cool, man.
Dude, I thought if we had to have somebody, you know, it was either going to have to be Wrangler or Milk. That was it for me. I love Milk.
I mean, there's
a lot of
great companies.
No,
you know,
but I wanted those two. I wanted Milk.
Now you've had Wrangler, so.
And Wrangler Rigs, they have the little mini pocket on the inside of the pocket, the little thing, you know, that you can put your pencils in and pens.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Especially
for people who work.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're on a job site, you have it there, and it's easy to get to.
I also have something else I'd like to share with everybody. This is really the thing that set our week off. We had the best week this week, and it's... We were talking to Kelsey Ballerini, and we were having
Hold on a second. You got to go back a little bit further. So Tuesday
then we have to go even further. But we got to go to Monday then.
Monday was a holiday.
Exactly. Okay. So it was a great
Monday
day.
Monday was a holiday.
We
so
had
it was
the day,
day
off,
and then Tuesday was a nice day on the air, and then we got to go and be guest announcers at the Opry,
Hang
out backstage at the Grand Ole Opry with Gene Watson and Craig Morgan and Bill Anderson.
Rascal Flatts
was there.
By the way, my kids thought it was so cool that Gary from Rascal Flatts like knew who I was. They were like, "Dad, they were in the Hannah Montana movie." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right."
I mean, that was just so cool. And
they're like, "We always, you know, because it's funny because your kids, you know, they know what we do, but they don't understand that we're so in it that we actually know these people." And they freak out whenever, like Craig Morgan went and hung out with Frankie, my son, for about 10 minutes. And they just talked about his hunting show. And Frank thought that was the coolest thing in the world because he loves Craig Morgan. That was cool.
That is cool.
And then Tuesday morning, we get to work. And coming off the high of being on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry and how cool that was. And then, okay, now they pick up Bubba.
Okay.
Story.
Well, wait. I do want to say this. Thanks to Bill Cody. Bill Cody has been hosting the Opry for a long time. Legendary WSM AM announcer for a long time, and he let us actually go up to his podium and do it. I mean, the Opry's been there for 90 years. That was, like, crazy. And the pictures, to see us there, and you see the stage and the band and the background singers and all, it's just...
I invited Bill to come by when we can do the podcast with us.
Oh, could you imagine the stories he'll have?
I bet that would be the coolest. I mean, he has his own radio show, but whatever. He can come do our... This isn't for real. This is just a podcast. He can come do this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Probably don't even have to ask permission at that point.
We don't.
Probably.
No. Yeah. We don't ask permission.
Well, we don't. I'm saying maybe... Yeah,
I don't think he has to worry about that either.
Yeah, probably
not. I think
not.
He can kind of get around it. Okay, so anyway... Okay, so we had this great week, Monday off, Tuesday the Opry. What could be even better? Well, Wednesday, we have Kelsey Ballerini. We have to tape up an interview with her because she's doing Good Morning America and all that kind of stuff. And she's giving out like all the announcements for the CMA winners and everything. So she's like, yeah, look, I can't do it live. I'm going to have to tape it up. So can I call you guys after the show? We're like, yeah. So we're thinking, all right, that's fine. So she calls, and we're doing this interview with her about, you know, how cool it was that she got nominated twice and they surprised her on the air when this happened. You've had a pretty dang good year, girl.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, actually, I want to turn the tables on you, and I want to tell you congratulations because you are nominated for CMA National Broadcaster.
What?
Of the year.
Yeah! Did you do this, Patrick?
No.
I had no idea.
No, and this is Patrick's first nomination, right?
Yes!
Wow.
I'm so happy for you guys.
What?
I'm
still...
Dude, we just get... Awesome!
You're killing it!
We just... What?
She just totally bombshelled.
That's... Turn it... We're so excited we didn't even turn Patrick's microphone on.
Oh, my God. This is so great.
Wow. What?
We need Kelsey to tell us...
Own it.
Wow. Yeah.
That is a huge wow.
I'm so excited for y'all.
Seriously, I keep waiting for someone to go, ha ha!
No.
Isn't that great? Ha ha!
No.
Well, wow. Well, thank you.
Yes!
You're welcome. That's what happens when you're awesome.
Well, aww. Let's talk about us some. Well, thank you for telling us. That's pretty crazy. I apologize for us being so flabbergasted.
No, that's the best. That's how I feel currently as well. So.
Can you do that part again earlier where you said that we're nominated for a
CMA?
Guys,
you are nominated, and
what?
I adore you, and I'm happy for you, and I think you should celebrate all day today.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kelsey Ballerini, everyone, and you can check her out, see if she... when she wins.
Oh, yeah.
Calling dibs for you.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
I'll see you guys soon. Thank you.
See ya. Right. Bye-bye. CMA Bye, Awards y'all. Wednesday, November 4th on ABC.
That happened.
That's crazy.
It's still, dude, I mean, when she says, well, actually, every
Let
time
me
I
turn
hear
the
it,
table
I feel like, oh, that was the second, like, my heart dropped. I'm like, she's about to hit us.
When
with
she
this.
Said, let me turn the tables on you, I was like, is this about to happen?
Oh man, I really don't know. Did we explain it well on the air this week about how incredibly rare it is to get nominated twice? Like,
yeah,
like
I don't know if
it's
twice
back
to back. You mean
back? Yeah,
I don't know that's ever happened. I mean, I can't think of any time it's happened.
Yeah, they've only been give. I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
It is crazy, but yeah.
I got quiet again because it's the weight of it has hit me again.
Well, you think about it. We left the big broadcast company. We did it. We wanted to do it on our own. We did it on our own. We have our own place. We own everything. We're
our own bosses.
We're small business owners.
If it fails, it fails.
Yeah. And it's not. And it hasn't been hard, but it hasn't been easy.
No.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of balls in the air all the time.
All the time.
And, you know, but it's been great because we're doing it the way we want to do it.
And it's been so fun. That is, I think, the biggest thing is, you know, our radio is, it's interesting because you hear, like, the DJs on the radio and they're like, oh, they're always happy. No, most of them are miserable. Most of them hate their lives.
Some
they
of
hate
them
going
sound
to work.
Miserable.
Some of them do sound miserable, but... most of them hate their situations. You know, they're completely hamstrung by these terrible one-sided contracts that lock them into a deal basically for life in perpetuity.
where, you know, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but there's a lot of stuff they wanted us to sign where basically we would have given away the rights to our names.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
And we're like, are you crazy? So, you know, we got away from that. We took a big gamble and a gamble on ourselves, and we did it on our own. And
in the first year, we get nominated for a CMA award.
And we were blown away.
We didn't win it. Our bud Lon Helton won it. And
good for him. We like him.
Yeah, I do. And then the few months later, we get nominated for an ACM award.
And Lon was not nominated.
So we could win one.
Yeah.
So we won an ACM award.
Which is crazy.
That was crazy. Did that whole thing. We're like, man, what a great year, first year for us. And then here we are a year and a half, and then the CMAs roll back around, and we're like, I remember driving in that morning, and I was like, I had to look it up. I'm like, I think they're doing the CMA nomination.
And we were kind of bummed. We were kind of bummed because we knew we weren't going to get nominated. Yeah. Nobody gets nominated twice in a row. You just don't.
And then to get nominated again for a CMA, there's only three of us. You know, in the national category, who got nominated, us, Leah, and Crick and Chase.
It's the only category where they only nominate three people.
And again, we love each one of them. I mean, Lori Ann and Charlie and Leah. I mean, we see each other and it's like big hug time, and we start gossiping, and it's great. We love those guys. So, you know, if we happen to win, if we happen to lose, it's going to be a great year no matter what, because the impossible has already happened. In our eyes. Yeah.
I just want to say how proud I am to see our names, including my name, on a list with Leah and Lori Ann and Charlie. Or, I mean, for a CMA, like, it's as big as it gets.
Yeah.
Seriously, in country radio, the ACM awards and the CMA awards are as big as it gets.
And I'll tell you something else. I've had the most fun in radio last 2 years.
Yeah, since we've been, that was another point I was going to get
to. Because there's nobody trying to kill our joy.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a weird situation before where there was always somebody trying to tell us how to be us better. And by doing that, they were trying to change the core of us. It's like getting into a relationship with somebody because you love the way they smell and then immediately telling them to change their cologne.
Yep. Yeah, because what we do isn't we aren't making gidgets and gizmos. This is art.
There's no formula.
There's
no
art.
Magic. You know,
it is magic.
That's
the thing. There, it's not okay. Step one, do this. Step two, do that.
No.
And what happens is consultants and you know, I have a lot of friends who are consultants, and bless their hearts, you know, they get hired, they get to make their job. So, you know, stations don't know what to do, and so they turn to someone who says that, hey, I have some ideas that can make you better, and so they pay them. Well, then they feel like they're obligated to tell them something, and so they kind of have a baseline of things they kind of go to. Well,
and there's a lot
this?
Of things that can be fixed on a radio station. That's
easy
in
stuff. I mean, okay. Things kind of elementary, but what we do is not a thing. It's almost a you got it or you don't kind of thing. It's either what you do people like or what you do people don't like. And most of the time, when we're just sitting here having fun and laughing and making each other laugh, that's when everyone has fun. Because I think the magic of what we do is that we are we're transparent on the air. And I think people, and we are unapologetic about who we are and how we're raised and what we stand for.
Think about.
And we're so goofy.
Think about some of the things we were told. I remember the one guy who said, oh, every time you go on the air and you're talking about any kind of topic, anything, you always have to disagree. One of you's always got to take each side. That's so manufactured.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. Why do you have to disagree? Sometimes you naturally disagree, and it makes for an interesting argument.
A lot of times we naturally disagree.
Okay, but I'm just saying, why does it have to be, hey, which side are you on? And that's so fake. But that's how people are trained to do
the guy
a morning
used to tell
show.
Us, the guy used to tell us, pick one. Who's going to be good cop? Who's going to be bad cop?
Oh, come on.
How about if we just be us and we just have fun?
Sometimes
and
we agree
have discussions.
On stuff. You know, we love Jesus and America and, you know.
And puppies.
Yeah. Drugs are bad. Puppies are good. Some stuff you agree on. Why do you have to? No, you got to pick sides. It needs to be controversy.
Well, what happened was when Seinfeld came out. Seinfeld had all these different characters. Okay,
and each person was very well defined. This is the crazy weird one. Is the neurotic one.
And so these consultants get in this. Okay, well, someone's got to be Kramer, and then somebody's got to be, you know.
Didn't they
Jerry.
Actually say that one time?
Yeah, one guy. That was his whole thing. Was your show should be like Seinfeld. Everyone should know whoever. And look, I agree. You should have a well-defined character. Like, we each have our thing that we are. But yeah, it's
stop. But unless you are vanilla cake, okay, you're going to already have that.
Yes.
Because everyone already has it.
Yes.
So there's nothing to. Why are you trying to? Why are they wanting people to create more stuff? You've already got it. You and I aren't alike. You and him aren't alike,
but in some ways we are.
Right,
you know
what that is. That's called
real
world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's been a wild week, and we're finally at a place in our careers, and I guess really I don't want to say our lives because we've had good runs, and our lives are awesome. But career wise, we're in the best place we could possibly be. And
can you imagine working?
No. No, because I see
at those places now.
I see the stuff now, and like I think back to, oh my gosh, that's the way it used to be. And I think about how horrible it is. It's like stepping away from a really bad relationship and looking at that person continue to do the same bad habits that used to drive you crazy with somebody else, and you go, oh, thank God I got away from that. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the emotion we get whenever we visit friends at their studios. We're like, oh my gosh, this is horrible.
Or you say, hey, we want you to do this. Oh, well, I'm going to have to run that up the what?
The chain?
What do you mean you have to run what up?
I said it earlier. We want somebody to come in on the podcast with us. And we've invited friends of ours from radio to come do it with us. And they are like, oh, yeah, I don't think I can do that.
We had one guy actually get a little backlash on it. I remember that. He got in a little bit of trouble. Not bad. They just slapped his hand. Oh, radio buddy. They slapped. I'm not going to call his name out, but we had a radio buddy who got his hand slapped, and they said, "Don't do that again unless you ask first."
Jeez, I'll never forget.
Why
it's a podcast.
There's so many examples of that stupidity, but I'll never forget one when we were in Country Weekly. There was a one-page write-up about you guys.
I remember that.
And it was such a cool thing. And we had rules at the old company that, like, I had to call the VP of public relations and the person in marketing and make sure they approved the picture and make sure somebody saw the interview before we did it and all this stuff. Like, we couldn't, because we had a rule about doing outside press without permission from everybody in the flipping company. So we got all the permission we needed. And here it is. It's a one-page write-up in Country Weekly, not a radio magazine, like a real magazine people can buy at the grocery store, and it's about y'all. How cool is that? So we sent out a copy of it in an email to the whole company, and the first response back from our boss, our immediate boss, was, who approved this?
Not great job.
Not, oh, wow, this is cool. Yeah, no. Oh, my God, this is a real magazine. This is a big deal for you guys. Is that, who approved this? Did you get this approved?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the first thing you get back.
Yeah. I mean, within minutes. And even after I said, I got it approved, and copied the other lady and said, everything's fine. I got, no. Oh, okay. Well, this is really nice. It was just, oh, fine. Okay. She's just looking for a reason to slap my hand. That's it.
You feel it?
Yes.
It welled up. Oh. It has welled up. Those old feelings have welled up inside.
Oh, so many of them. I'm sitting here just, they're all running through my head. You guys should have an interview with a country artist every day. Because if you, I mean, really, you have access, you know these people, you should have them on the phone or in the studio every day. And then I swear, 3 days later, another different programming genius going, you got to be careful. You don't want to have too many interviews with artists on the show.
That's the same. And those are the same guys where you have one guy going, one of your bosses going, hey, you have way too many phone callers on. It's moving too fast. You need to flesh this out. Less calls.
But talk to them longer.
Okay. All right. Well, fine. Okay. We'll do that for you. And then like a week later, the guy comes back, the same guy going, hey, yeah, you know, I was thinking that you shouldn't let these people talk as much because they just ramble on and on and on and on. You ought to just make them shorter.
Talk to
like,
more people. You just told but shorter us. Like, how about we do what feels right when we're in the moment because we're actually in the room doing it. You couldn't sit in this room and do it if you tried.
He couldn't. No. He couldn't.
No. It's art. It's
it
art.
It is art. It's like telling, hey, it's like telling a painter, hey, why don't you paint a few more leaves on that tree? You know, there's too many leaves on that tree. You don't know. I'm the painter. Let me just do it.
This is what I'm feeling.
No one told Bob Ross how many happy little trees to put in his painting. Okay?
Maybe I've tried.
He painted happy little trees till he felt like there was enough.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who are in that situation.
It's not just radio, it's everything.
Oh, well, think music, man. Those poor guys, especially like a new artist.
Here's how you have to dress.
Oh.
Here's your signature hat.
Comes our uniform.
Okay, here's what we want you to do. You're going to be the guy who wears spurs. Huh? Yes, you're going to walk around
Nobody
everywhere.
Nobody actually wears spurs.
No, this guy will, though. That's his
right.
thing.
Yeah, because no one else does.
You're a real cowboy because you wear spurs. Okay.
Yeah.
Put them on your tennis shoes.
I feel bad. I really do feel bad for artists, especially if it's the new artists, because they're just glad to have a deal. Mm-hmm. And then they sign anything, okay, because they want the deal so bad. And they sign it, and it's always a terrible deal.
It's a 360 deal where basically the record company gets a piece of everything in their life.
And then they're saddled with it, and they're having to work through this thing, and then all of a sudden they get no support from the label
because the label moves on.
The label has the guy who signed you, he got fired. Or
and
he
now,
left.
And now all of a sudden you're not that person's, the next replacement right. person's idea.
Now you're
not
right.
their thing.
That's
so they
happened
have,
a lot, like where the president of the label switches and then everybody's just left. I actually have friends that had record deals that, you know, and they were in development. And then the new president of the record label took over and
killed it.
Killed a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, so whatever, even if you do something, your job is not an art job, so to speak, you still have people who are in positions ahead of you and above you who feel that, you know, they have to earn their keep and they just nitpick stuff, especially when you're better at it than they are.
Awful.
Then that's when it gets really ugly. That's when it gets really, really ugly. And in our business, that's a lot. It's not just, and I'm going to say that we are, you know, better than people above us, but we are better than the people above us. And it's rampant in all kinds of other companies too, other radio companies. I know people who were told to do other things, and you're like, why don't you just let him do what he does? That's what you hired him for.
Oh. It's like the oldest story in radio, like where the morning show gets hired by the guy who heard him and thought they were great, moves him to the new town and goes, oh, yeah, so glad you guys are here. Okay, we want you to do your show this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm like, no, I don't know, but you heard my show and you thought it was great.
That's the reason I'm even here.
That's why you brought me here. Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird balance. It's a weird balance.
I just replied to this guy, Adam. Adam John said, I had to turn the station today. If I wanted to pray, I would go to church. So I just replied.
Someone actually on a text wrote that? Or
no, on Facebook.
Really?
And I just put, thanks for the message, Adam, and thanks for allowing us the freedom to pray as you exercised your freedom to listen or not listen. I love America. That's my reply.
Yeah.
People, you know, here's the thing. We do, that's about the most controversial thing that we do, and it's sad that that is controversial. You know, especially during football season, how we do the prayers for the
it's
athletes.
It's a minute. It takes a minute.
There was a kid last weekend that died. Yes. There was a kid last weekend that died on the football field. He broke his neck on a punt coverage. And that's exactly why we do it. You know, there are kids who are living their dreams, playing for their high school colors and all that. But every once in a while, somebody gets injured. And that's why we do the prayers for protection. And you know what? Thank you for letting us do that. And for those of you who don't want us to do it,
that's not even like you let us do it. We just do it.
No, but you know what I mean. Thank you for letting us go ahead and be. That's just part of our free speech. You know, that's the beautiful thing. But I don't get mad if somebody prays. If somebody drops their knees and starts praying in the middle of the streets, I don't get mad at them. I don't turn my back.
Do you go? You don't go over to them and go, "Hey, man, if I wanted to see someone pray in the street, I would have." I don't know where you'd see that, but yeah. You know, yeah, no, you just go, "Oh, hey, that's cool. It's America." You know, but we get one of those, but we get, you know, 8,000 thank yous.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people feel that way, man. A lot of people. You know, that's one reason why.
A lot of people are tired of being told they can't.
And I tell you, that's a reason why, you know, people go, "I can't believe Trump is doing so well." And yeah, because you know what? He's saying things that we've gotten so weird. We're just downright weird about it, about all this political correctness stuff, and you can't do that, and this person can't do that, and well, this person's, you know, you can't. So that we're just like, man, enough's enough. Let's just, can we just say it like it is?
Yeah.
Just say it like it's it, like it is.
You know, you got a lot of people. Trump says some dumb stuff.
But you know what? You do too. I do too.
We all do. But you know what I find interesting is that, you know, people are like, he's attacking this candidate for this, and he's attacking her because of that, and he's doing. But you know what? Every single one of them makes fun of his hair. They attack on the money thing. They attack on his trophy bride. You know, they attack on the same thing. So there's a double standard. He can be attacked, but they can't.
Yep.
I think it's not fair. And I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, Green Party. I don't care. I don't care. The attacking should be fair both ways. If one person gets to attack, all people get to attack.
Well, the thing is, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't, don't. That's part of who you are. Again, that comes back to you can't change him. You can't say, well, I like what he's saying, but man, he needs to be more presidential. Well, I hate to tell you this. That's just the way.
He's not the guy.
I tell you, why does he have to be presidential?
And what is presidential?
Because
not saying that the girl running against you is ugly. That kind of stuff. Not getting on there
why?
And going,
because,
"Hey, you know what?
You're a diplomat. You're the head of state. You're the person who has to deal with every other foreign leader. And I don't think I want you in a room telling them." You know, well, your wife sure has a big nose. You know, I don't want that. I don't. You got to be careful.
Well, what if she has a big nose?
No, look, man. I don't.
Will he get elected? I don't know. I don't know.
I think it goes too far. But I agree what you're saying.
But you know, every time somebody says he's politically he's dynamite, political dynamite. Every time they do that, then the poll numbers come out and he's higher.
Well, I mean, think of all the guys that we know who are like, "Yeah, did you see her nose?"
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend of mine on Facebook.
It
actually,
like she had a foot on her face.
I had a buddy of mine on Facebook actually. Put out a hypothesis on this. He said maybe he's getting so much coverage because the media wants people to get sick of him. And I was like, you know, that could be the only way.
I think people will be sick of him by the time it's time to vote. It is September. The first primary is in January.
I'm going to tell you this.
That's just the first one.
I have not. How do I want to say that? I haven't watched a single thing where he's talking anywhere. I haven't watched any of the candidates spout their rhetoric, whether, you know, again, whatever party it is. I haven't watched anybody do it. All I've gotten are sound bites. And the things you read on the internet, which is crazy because the last two elections, I was very, very in them. But it's like gotten to the point where I'm sitting here going, it's September 2015. We have a year of this. I have a little time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
and
you're right.
So I'm not even really paying attention to what they're really saying yet.
Most people aren't.
And everything I'm getting is shaped by sound bites.
Yeah. The vast majority of people are not paying attention to this. At all.
Have you watched any of the things?
No. The first primary is in January. We're already getting ready to have the second debate. What? No, we don't. Literally, most of the country won't vote until March and April. We're talking more than 6 months. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just.
I think I'm going to tape I'm going to DVR the thing tonight and see what happens.
Hey, we talked a little bit last week about I'm changing subject here, but about Bubba wanting that
Pancake Butt.
BB-8.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thing.
Yeah, the toy. And I told you, I said it was going to be huge and popular.
Yeah, it's going to be the
Christmas toy
of the year.
Get a BB-8. They're awesome. Our bud, Pete. You hear the little gurgle?
Did you have a throat burp?
What happened? No, it was a gurgle. A burp is different. A burp is when you actually have gas come out. This was I took a sip of coffee and my throat went, oh, no. That's a gurgle. Pete from Brett Michaels' band, he bought one for his son. He said, it is awesome. And I've seen that, like, they have that little mode on there where you can do the hologram and you can go, Obi-Wan, help me, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope, Obi-Wan. And it'll actually make you look like the hologram. I want that. And I said I wanted one here in the studio. It will happen.
What was the greatest toy you guys ever had growing up for Christmas? A Christmas toy.
I had a.
It doesn't have to be the one that was the hottest toy. It could be.
I think the one that I remembered the most was this treehouse, little Fisher-Price treehouse that you popped open and it was like a playset. Because I never got stuff like that. And then that one year I did. And I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Sounds like a girl toy.
No, it was a boy toy. I was a little kid.
Oh. Did you like girl toys, though, growing up? I mean, that's fine if you do. What is that?
I have two. When I was...
I like how Bubba just gave points in his lap.
No, because no matter what I answer, you're gonna hook me. So I'm like, you know what? Just
don't say anything.
Let it go. Let it go.
When I was 5 or 6, I got He-Man action figures and Castle Grayskull,
sounds like a girl toy. All those big muscular men.
I'm pretty sure Castle Grayskull was about as much a boy toy as it could be.
I don't know, man. Have you watched He-Man?
No, it is a little homoerotic.
Seen old Prince Eric?
Wow, yeah, you're right.
Hi, I'm Prince Eric.
Hi.
A little bit, but it was still not for girls. Girls had She-Ra. We had He-Man. Different. The other thing was when I was like 10 or 11, I got my first rifle. Santa brought it. It was out there on the mantle, you know, by the fireplace when we woke up.
So cool.
Went out in our pajamas with our rubber boots on and went shooting
In the field. That's
so great, man. What a great, great time.
Like, do we have to put clothes on? Nah, put your rubber boots on. Let's go shoot the gun. It was the best.
Man, put your boots on.
Put your boots on. We're going to go over to Paul's house and shoot because he's out in the country.
That's so.
The best.
That's the best. That really is the best.
I never forget, too, we showed up at my grandfather's house with the guns. We're going to go out in the field in the pecan orchard and shoot.
In the what?
The pecan orchard.
But you said pecan.
Orchard. What's an orchard? That's where you go and shoot arrows, right?
No. Yeah, that's
the orchard.
It's a guy in Walking Dead. He's got that.
Very nice. No, my grandfather has a real thick Cajun accent and false teeth, and he's always been old as long as I can remember, so it's kind of hard to understand sometimes. A lot of times. And I remember he had this squirrel that was eating the pecans, and he was upset about it. He goes, while you're out there in the orchard, if you see that squirrel is eating my pecans, you shoot him here. I think I got enough of that to know what he meant.
Sounds like there's horses behind him clapping because of his teeth hitting together.
If you see that squirrel that's been in the pecans, you shoot him, yeah.
Shoot him.
That's the original shoot him.
That's the original. My grandfather.
That's cool, man. Best.
I got to go in a little. Actually, I have to leave here in a couple minutes.
Where are you going?
I have to go to the urologist.
Bubba's getting the old checkup.
Yeah, I got my checkup today.
Tell Patrick what they told you.
Okay, so I called the other day, and I'm making my appointment. And Big D's like, why are you making an appointment for the checkup? And I said,
you're going to just give a little more information.
Hold on. So the checkup, you have to bring a sample.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
I got you.
A post-vasectomy sample.
There you go.
Of whether or not you have swimmers or not. So Big D's like, you don't have to make an appointment. Just go and drop it off. I said, no, because when you went and dropped it off, they didn't have a doctor there to look at your sample.
Wasted it.
And so he had to waste a sample.
Oh, that's awful.
So I said, I called.
It really is. I mean, it is. Like, it's like
it is
way,
awful.
It's
It's demeaning.
It's demeaning. It's awkward. It wasted my time.
It would be like showing up, ladies. It would be like showing up for a pap smear, getting all ready to go, up in the stirrups and everything, and then nobody showing up.
And you're like,
and you're there for an hour, and you go, hello.
It really irked me. Yeah.
So he you know got stiffed basically. Well, that's
hey.
But so yeah, so I called and I made an appointment and I was good to go. They're like, okay, great, come on in. And she said, oh, sir, yeah.
I can't believe
as
this.
We're about to hang up. Oh, sir, yeah. Could you please not collect your sample in our parking lot?
What?
I started laughing. I was like,
somebody, you know, they have to say that because somebody did that. No,
they probably do it all the time.
I started laughing and I said, okay. I said, is that a problem? She goes, oh, yes, it is.
It happens.
It happens people all the time.
People do not do that in the parking lot.
Well, dude, last time I went, there was this guy in the truck next to me. I thought he was just having a laughing fit.
If the truck is rocking, don't bother knocking.
I thought he was just laughing. I thought he was listening to one of our podcasts.
No, he was collecting a sample.
Now that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Whose brain works that
who
way?
Who says, you know what?
Well, you know what? I'll wait till the last minute. We'll get there, put the car in park.
You only have 2 to 4 hours to window. Yeah, they said you got about 2 to 4 hours to bring your sample in, and then it expires. So, yeah, that's why some guys wait until the last minute because they get there and they go, okay.
I want you to think about three of your buds that you watch football with. Two of those would do that, right?
Yeah, you know what the sad part is? I know which two it is.
I know which two it is, too. So I go, yeah, he would do it. The other one wouldn't do it, but those two would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd like to think I'm not that guy. I know I'm not that guy.
Sir?
Yeah.
Could you please collect your sample here in our parking lot?
When she says it, do you assume it's because people do that? Or is there a second where you go, do they think I would do that?
Yeah.
Or is this something they tell everybody?
They're probably out going knocking on windows.
Hey.
Go across
the street.
Sir. Sir, put that away, sir.
Go to the gas station. Go inside, get the key. Because it's a key, like a big old, it's like a log attached to the key.
Yeah.
And then go outside around the building. Okay, thank you.
Have a nice day.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir.
Woohoo! Yeah.
All right, so guys, I will take this moment to get out of here. By the way, thank you again.
Where are you going?
I'm going to collect a sample.
Where are you going to go?
Not in our parking lot. Not in our parking lot or anywhere in this building.
Well, we have security cameras.
You go home and you collect your sample and then you go to the doctor. Okay? I don't want to have to lay it out, but then, like, you go home.
I'm running
late. Get it
late.
Out of my head!
I don't care how late you are.
I'm running late, so
play
I have to go.
Play the team now and go.
thank you, Wrangler. Wrangler Rig Studio is a beautiful place to be doing our broadcast. Nothing else, though. You don't want to do anything else in here. It just doesn't work out well. Wrangler Rig Studio, Wrangler Rigs Workwear, comfortable, tough, all day long.
Patrick wants to know if he can be your step-in. You can use his. It's been a while for him.
No.
Maybe you can just use his.
No.
No.
No, because then that means I would have to go bring another sample.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you might have to get another snip-snip like some people.
Man, I hope yours is good. I really do.
Me too. Because if it comes out where it's positive and I have swimmers,
if y'all both have
back
to get another
how many
one.
How many months has it been?
It's been a while.
What lie did they tell you, D?
3 months.
Since April.
April, what? May.
Yeah, I should be clear.
I think you're clear.
I should be clear.
What lie did they tell you? It only grows back like that, like in
one in 11,000 patients.
So if it happens to be both of you, I think there should be some kind of 2-for-1 deal. I really. Oh, is the second one free?
Yeah, the second one's free.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, but the thing is, I got to. But they're going to knock me out. I'm not going to do it again. Okay, and so she calls me to set up the appointment. She goes like, all right, so we get it all set up for this date, and it's going to work out with our schedules. I said, okay, cool. And she goes, did he give you Valium? And I go, no, he's going to knock me out. And she goes, oh, no, we can't find
an anesthesiologist
to do it for free. So we're going to have to do it in the office while you're awake. And I'm like, I'm not doing that again. I'm just not.
Been there, done that.
I said my insurance will have to pay for the anesthesiologist because I'll pick,
you're not doing it.
I'm not gonna otherwise I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna go through that again.
Why? It was so pleasant.
Yeah. It's like nothing. Yeah.
And listen, I did it. I did it once. Okay. Voluntarily. And I didn't even really care to do it. I did it for other people.
Like I said, if it was me, I'd be like, hey, look, this is how God wants it.
I did it for myself. I shouldn't say that. But it was, anyway, you'll be fine. Thanks. Get out of here.
All right.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.